It's time for Let Your Muscle with Lee and Phil.
Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of the Mature Muscle podcast. You're joined with me, Phil Agostino, and I'm with Lee Carnaby. Today, well, we're going to cover, obviously, New Year's resolutions. I hope you've had a great Christmas. I hope you had a great New Year. I know, obviously, going into this new year, it is not a lot of, you know, it feels like there's not a lot of hope and it's going to be not a lot going on. So hopefully what we can do with this time is to get ourselves in better shape, get ourselves fitter and stronger. And hopefully when things go back to normal, we'll be in a great position. So that's what we're going to cover today. New Year's resolutions and basically why they fail. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm very good, mate. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm very well. How was your Christmas and New Year? Did you take advantage of lots of food like most people?
Massively. Yes, I did. It was like you said, there was a bit of a dark one for the UK people. If you're listening to this in another country, you don't know what we're talking about. We slipped into another lockdown because of COVID-19. So we had to not see family, not see friends. So it was a bit of a strange one. So all the food I'd already bought to have with a few friends and family, we ended up eating just the two of us. So, yeah, double the calories.
Some of us were actually, I mean, there'll be definitely some people listening to this that were glad they didn't have to go to families. I'm not going to lie. We were one of them. So we actually quite a good Christmas, just the two of us. For me, it was interesting because it was my first ever Christmas with two kids. And it was fun, but exhausting because they're excited. But it was cool. So what we're going to do today, mate, we're going to chat about New Year's resolutions because, as most people know, about 80% of them fail. Most people who start a New Year's resolution with regards to weight loss and fitness, you know, they are going to fail by, I think I saw a stat once, it was like mid-February. Well, that's about 6 weeks into the year. And we, you know, you and I both know that most of the people listening, most men and women are going to need longer than 6 weeks to A, achieve their goals, and B, you know, one of the biggest problems is actually sticking to something they can stick to for a lifetime. I mean, people forget that it's not about achieving your goals. It's about achieving a goal and then somehow maintaining it. So what I've done is I've got a few reasons why I think New Year's resolutions fail. We're going to probably stay, we'll do a little bit about nutrition and dieting mistakes, but I think we've definitely covered those. So anyone who's new to the podcast, or, you know, those of you who have listened maybe and didn't really, maybe you need a reminder, go back and listen to the previous episodes, because some of the reasons why they fail is just purely because, you know, people choose the wrong diets and the wrong training. So a good example is if I decided to go running and become a vegan, I'm going to last probably about a week. So go back to the old podcast and, you know, we'll cover some of the details of the nutrition and training, especially, you know, we did an episode of for training in lockdown. So those of you, you know, in the UK that are who don't have access to a gym, go back to those previous episodes. In this one, I'd like to cover more about, you know, the psychology of it, some of the goal setting aspects, and why I think people fail from more of a strategic point of view. Sound good, mate?
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, I think this is going to be a really useful one. Try and keep people positive going into this next stretch of lockdown as well. So, yeah, good one, mate.
Yeah, I think so. The first reason I think that they go wrong, and this is one of the big things I do every year, is start to push people to start trying to lose weight, get in shape around the September, October. I mean, I'm trying to do it all year round, but I'm always thinking to myself, those people that wait to the new year tend to fail, because I always feel like it's the wrong you're starting for the wrong reason. It's all almost like, you know, when the new year starts, there's some kind of magical reset, like a computer game where you've started again.
New year, new me and all that crap.
So it's like, you know, like I use the analogy of, like, in marketing and business, we use the analogy of like a bleeding neck problem. You know, if you've got a problem that's worth fixing, you fix it now. And if you're starting
like that,
you're looking for people with a bleeding neck, you know, you don't get shot, you don't get a gun wound and say, oh, I'll fix that in a week. Or the doctor doesn't say, you know, you've got cancer, and you say, okay, I'll go and get treatment in a couple of years. Although I did hear one doctor once upon a time, when I was having a cyst removed, doctor found a little side story. The doctor found a cancerous, like, mole on this woman, and she was like, you need to take it out now because I'm going skiing next week. And he was like, I'm not really qualified to do it. And she was like, if you don't take it out, I'm going to go skiing anyway, and I'll see you in 2 months. Like, that's... But this is the kind of attitude people have with fitness. And I'm like,
can I give you a little story about that? Very quick. I won't drag it on, but I had a bicep tear about 8 years ago, right? And it happened in a deadlift, and I was wearing wraps, and I've not worn them since because anyway, I slightly overbalanced, tore my left bicep completely off the bone, and it ended up under my armpit, right? So obviously a bit traumatic. Went to the surgeon to get it done, and it was sat down with this surgeon, and she said to me, "Well, you know, it's going to be quite painful and going to put you out for a while. Do you really want to get it done? You know, because your other muscles around it will kind of compensate." And I looked at her and I was thinking, are you for real? I mean, I know anatomy and physiology enough to know that if I lose my bicep and it ends up under my armpit, it's just going to be a lump of muscle with nothing attached to it. And the rest of the muscles are just... And I went, yes, I want to get it done. Yes.
Jesus. It's like, you've snapped a bone. Should we just leave it? Well, it's funny, I've got a shoulder problem. I've got a shoulder problem at the moment. And I was looking last night for health insurance because I don't want to go through the NHS because I'd rather I'm going to get myself some private health insurance to get this shoulder fixed, because I just think it'll be quicker and I'll probably get better service than the doctor that says, do you really need that shoulder fix? I'm like,
it's not life threatening, therefore do you really need it done? Do you really?
We have digressed, but that's my point. New Year's resolutions, going into it because it's quote unquote just, it's January, right? It's just because it's something you do. It's a new start. It's quite fluffy as a way of motivating yourself. Like, and that is the problem. Losing weight and getting in shape takes commitment, hard work, discipline. And, you know, if you're in your 30s and 40s, you're going to have to do it for 50, 60 odd years. You know, did you see that picture I posted the other day of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Clint Eastwood skiing?
Yeah.
I didn't realize Clint Eastwood was 91, but that was a fucking good picture to see, like, you know, a guy in his 90s and Arnie on the slopes. You know, that's a lot. So my point being is, hopefully, you know, bar a freak accident or disease, you know, we want to be in great shape till our, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s and live a good life.
Yeah, quality of life. Yeah,
exactly. So living longer. And I don't think going into having just the quote unquote motivation of it being the new year is enough. What are your thoughts on that kind of, you know, that feeling of it just being like something you have to do because it's new year?
I totally agree with you on that one. It's such an arbitrary thing as well. You know, the feeling that I can kind of understand why people do it. And I have done it myself, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, it's almost like a point where you go, right, this is the point. But it's procrastination personified, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, no, I'll do it in the new year. And then, you know, very well, if you fall off the wagon with like February, March, you know that person's then going to say, "Oh, bollocks to this." I'll leave it till the summer, you know, because then I'll be getting in shape for the summer. You see all these little shutters start coming down, you know, and it's like a procrastinator's dream. It's like, no, I'll do it. I've got to clean the kitchen floor. I'll do it later. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things.
And that leads me really nicely into the other one. It's basically what I talk about a lot is the difference between motivation. I said this to a guy on the phone this morning, the difference between motivation and discipline. It's really nice to have motivation to me is like, it's like a fleeting, fluffy emotion that we get from time to time. You know, you could put a good, like, you know, people go to these Tony Robbins things. They pay tens of thousands of, they go in, they roll you up, everyone's screaming and clapping and cheering. And then you come out that, like, you know, event and you go, oh,
right, what now?
It subsides, right? So it's nice to have motivation in the same way, you know, you did your photo shoot. I might book one, we have holidays. It's, I always think of those as like, if you look at, you could have a graph of like discipline. It's like these phases in the year where you get motivated, like little peaks, but you still need the underlying discipline. And that is the ability to do shit when you don't want to do it. I call these non-negotiables. So there's like a list
so
of things. In one of the coaching programs I do, they call it shit you have to do unless you die. That's why I lie. I mean, it's basically getting to the point where you're disciplined enough to wake up every day and go, without fail, I'm going to eat this much food. I'm going to walk this much. I'm going to walk the dog. I'm going to do, you know, this and that. And that could apply to things in business. And I think those are great for your whole life. But in terms of fitness, having the discipline to do that is much better than motivation. So for me, that is the reason why most of the New Year's resolutions fail. People go into them with that happy feeling of like, it's a new start, it's a fresh start. And it does make sense, you know, it does make sense on the back end of New Year and Christmas. It is a good, like, we overindulge and it makes logical sense. I've done it, which leads me to my next point. I think too many people focus on the goal or like the list of goals and not enough on the strategy. How the fuck are you going to do it? Because you know, and I know, and there'll be people listening who have probably said they're going to lose weight every January for the last 5-10 years.
Yep. Yeah. The serial kind of New Year's resolution failures.
Yeah. And if you ask them, how are you going to do it? It's like saying to a business owner, how are you going to make more money? And he goes, oh, I'll sell more. But how? Yeah. What's the strategy? What are you going to do differently? Because if you've been failing year after year, something in your strategy or lack of process or planning, goals, program, whatever you want to call it, a lack of something on paper that you can literally physically follow.
Yeah.
Is what I feel like is the missing piece. Is that, and I'm very much the same. I've actually gone back to writing down. I've written down my meal plan this time around. I'm always big on writing down my training plan because of the accountability from the logbook. But yeah. I find it makes a big difference having a strategy and a process.
Yeah,
it's just a goal.
I'm very much the same. I'm very much a list person. I live on lists. I must have 20 different lists all constantly being used on my phone. You know, on the iPhone list app. You can just set these lists up, and it's so satisfying just ticking one off. I love it. The people every year who maybe stick something on the fridge or something, and then it's gone by February. You know, they'll stick a little. Yeah, you've got to do this, got to do that, and then it takes a bit more than just writing it down onto a sheet, but it does help to see it. It's like the old school kind of people who prefer to read books rather than. Look, Kindles or whatever, because you've got something tangible.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the same with lists in a way. I like to see, rather than just have some kind of arbitrary thing, floating through the air, I like to see something written down, even if it's on a digital format, that I can actually say, yep, ticking that off today, yep, ticking that off today. And it just gives me that little bit extra motivation to get it done.
Yeah, when I'm talking about strategy, a list, there'll be people listening thinking, okay, what do you mean? And people overcomplicate the list. I guess if you ask someone to write down a list of things they need to do to lose weight, it would include things like can't eat certain foods, can't eat after 8 p.m. So if we've discussed these myths endlessly in the first few podcasts, in the first few episodes. But in terms of a list, it's like it's great to have a goal. One of the coaching programs, and this is, I'm very different, but one of the coaching programs, they've all been doing their vision boards for the year.
Right.
I didn't do one because I think it's bullshit. I've tried it, doesn't work. But I do. But some people will benefit from having a vision board or set goals or a specific look. Specific goals, not just I want to run further. Can I do? It might be, can I do 5K in my best time ever?
Yeah. What's the process to get there? Yeah.
Yeah. Then what's the process to get there? What do I know? So most people listening, or most people that fail, don't have a process. They have. If you ask them, how are you going to do this? They'd say something along the lines of, I'm going to cut out junk. I'm going to do dry January, and I'm going to go to the gym. That's okay. What do we need to break that down into further points? Is okay, if you break it down, okay, what are you going to eat? Like, how many calories are you going to consume? How much protein do you need for your body type? What meals are you going to eat that are filling and not boring for you? What are you going to do in the gym? What exercises? How much calories are you going to do? How often are you going to go? What intensity are you going to train at? Because also, you can't change one thing without affecting another. You suddenly like say, okay, I'm going to start. You go from doing no running to then sign up. I've had a couple of people say on the phone this week who are doing the London Marathon. Well, if they suddenly start training for London Marathon, the food's going to affect the diet and probably the resistance training.
Yeah, so
having a real simple, and that's what I think. Well, my clients who are probably yours do is as coaches, we probably make it very simple. And I feel like fat loss is really about just following just ticking off a few boxes every day. Phil said or Lee said, I need this many calories, this amount of protein. I'm going to go and hit the bike for this much time with this much heart rate. I'm going to do these exercises for these reps and these sets. I'm going to work this hard. And if I do that every goddamn day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then have a process for adjusting it when we plateau. But I will move towards my goals.
Yeah.
The problem is most people have just, like we said, they've come into they're going to go into the new year. Just go, woo, it's a new year, new me. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be the best. I'm going to be the slimmest Jane or Dave ever.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
How about when you get people to plan, I should say, do you get them to break these things down into manageable chunks first, or do you just say no? I want you to go in at this level. What I mean, say for example, if you were taking someone fresh from like a sedentary position where they'd not been to the gym for years, would you say right? All I want you to do is 20 minutes of this, 20 minutes of that. Three times a week to start you off. I mean, is there a plan that you do for that?
Yeah, I think that depends. I think if you're talking about, so if anyone's listening who is, the person who, I had a client last year, never been to a gym, never been sporty, been overweight most of his life, and he was 68, pretty stuck in his ways. There was no point in me making it really too advanced. So it was really a case of like, can you consume X amount of calories every day, put it in MyFitnessPal. Can you get roughly this amount of protein? Because this is going to help, you know, keep you full and build muscle for your age. And I'd like you to try and walk every single day for 5,000 steps. That was maybe week one. And actually, when people come into my program, you know, I don't know if many people know, but you know, I know I've spoken to you about it. I don't just actually give people the plans. I've actually got 12 weeks of video content, which literally breaks down everything anyone would ever need to know into quite a simple way to do it. So, you know, I could send it to anyone now. You know, most people do need support and accountability with the coach, but they could, if I sent them the program in just video form, they could do it themselves. And that's automated to drop week by week. So like week one, goal setting, what's your why, nutrition. Week two, okay, let's set up a training program. Week three, how do we assess? So it's meant to be done in a way to not overwhelm people with too much too soon. Yeah. On the other hand, you do get the people that are, like I had a guy today who was already doing, he's doing the marathon this year. He's doing something like 20,000 steps a day. Over Christmas, he climbed the Three Peaks. He does a load of stuff right. In terms of he's quite fit, but he's getting fatter by the month because he's eating too much. Right. I feel like for him, he's already quite fit. He's never done any resistance training. So I probably, as he's already not technically a beginner, I'm going to pretty much send him a diet plan and a training and a resistance band plan to go right away. So yeah, it really depends. I feel like it depends on the person, like how confident they are in their ability. But you know, the best thing to do is to make it so. I'd rather someone come back to me and say, "Phil, I'd rather you give me more than overwhelm them too much."
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. The reason I ask is because might be people out there just thinking, "God, it's all just just the thought of that first workout back is just a killer," because for me, you build things up in your mind so much, especially when it's that first workout back for the year, maybe, and you've just got to get started. I think if you give yourself, right, all I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to go to the park, and I'm going to do this, and then that's it, and then I'm coming home. If you say that to yourself and give yourself that out, you can almost guarantee by the time you get there and you get warmed up and you get into it, you know, when the endorphins kick in and you start, your lungs open up a little bit and you start feeling so much better. And you can guarantee you'll stay. You know what? I'll do a bit more. I'll stay and I'll do a bit more. Because it's just that initial, negativity that goes through your mind when you think workout sometimes.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. You know what I mean? Especially after Christmas when everyone's drunk too much. And it's funny, I had it the other day. I did a video on it where I had, I think it was a Sunday just gone. Most people know me. I'm, pretty positive in general. I'd like to look at the positives and things. But I had the Sunday, not the Sunday, Sunday just gone. I was like, it was dark and grey. I think I started to realise that the new year doesn't really mean much this year because of the COVID thing. I had quite one of those days where I couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
And even to the point where I was like, my biggest annoyance was I've started dieting. And the one thing that a lot of us have right now is food, right? You know, we haven't got much to go by that's enjoyable. And a lot of us put a lot of value in food. And that was, for me, it was like, I had one of those days where I was like, I just need to train today. I'll just do something. And that, you're right. I think 9 times out of 10, if you just get started, it's almost like, the journey is more daunting than the actual process.
Yeah. Yes. Like, yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's the thought of that first workout, or even the first week, when everything hurts again. And everything just feels so much. You can't believe how much, if you're going out for a run or something, you feel your legs still feel so much heavier. And if you can get that through that first week or so, you're away. And I think if you can just give yourself that little out and say, I'm just going to go, I'm going to do a kilometre run. That's it. Low expectation of yourself that you'd have almost impossible to fail it.
That kind of ties in with a couple of points I've got written down. One is that a lot of people do things that they don't actually find enjoyable. Going back to my example, if I turn around and say I'm going to get in shape, but I want, I hate running and I don't want to ever be a vegan. Like, but if I choose those things because I'm, unaware that, and I believe they're the best thing for me, the fact is, the fact I don't enjoy it is going to be a problem.
Yes, so
I think trying to find things, and I know, like, I've been, I mean, I'd love everyone to go into the gym and deadlift and squat and, build muscle. But, there'll be people listening to this where I remember one coach when he was bodybuilding for his competitions, he would, to get his step count up, he would say to his wife, "Come on, let's go shopping, I'll buy you something." And he would drag his ass around the mall.
Yeah.
It's just little things, can you go dancing? It's difficult now because of COVID. It is more difficult because there's not as much you can do. People aren't allowed to go swimming or play tennis. So find something that's enjoyable is probably going to be slightly harder. Yeah. But I think that really applies to diet, especially. I wrote the post a couple of days ago where, like, one of my favorite meals at the moment is I have a couple of low fat burgers, about 100 grams of mozzarella, a bowl of porridge oats with, you know, the golden syrup stuff and the salad. And that's why I save that meal to the end of the evening. I normally have it late in the day because it's a meal I like. And I'm purposely trying to find these meals that are, you know, don't get me wrong, I would much prefer to sit there and have a fucking Domino's because I've said before, I'd live off junk food if I could. But what I'm trying to do is make meals that are nice to me. Whereas a lot of people listening to this are going to do make the mistake of, and we've covered it in other podcasts, so don't go too much detail, but make the mistake of, right, cut all the junk food out, no alcohol for January, chicken, yeah. I'm going to have chicken salad, and you haven't got, you know, socializing with your friends, seeing family, yeah, going to the pub, going to the cinema, you may be working. Like my missus keeps saying it, life at the moment is just go to work, come home, look after the kids, which, I mean, I think it's better because I'm the one at home with them because yeah. I work from home. But that's the point. There's not much. Trying to find some enjoyment in this is going to be harder, but you're going to have to try and do it because it's not going to be sustainable otherwise.
Have you played Buckaroo?
Yeah.
Right. So think of your life like Buckaroo, right? You keep loading those plastic shit onto it, right? A little bucket here, a spade there, and eventually you're just going to flip it all off, aren't you?
The best analogy of like the straw that broke the camel's back,
isn't it? Pleased with that, mate. I'm quite pleased with that. No, but what? In all seriousness, if you give yourself too much load, like, well, I've got a friend out there. I'm not going to say her name, but she knows who she is. She'll know this. She listens to this. Every year she'll say, right, I'm doing this. And she's all out, right? She will go, right, I'm giving up alcohol. I'm gonna eat healthy every day. I'm gonna do 40 minutes of walking every morning. She'll give this ridiculous list of things that she's gonna do, right? And it's not necessarily in the new year either. She might just get this little bee in her bonnet about something and she'll give herself all these. And I just roll my eyes because, you know, without trying to be too negative, because I know she's written herself such a big load to deal with all in one go. There's no half measures. It's like going in and unfortunately 9 times out of 10, she can't continue it on. I hope she'll learn from it and just go, let's dial it in a bit, be more realistic. Only give myself this for the first month. I'm going to do this. The second month, I'm going to do this. Third month, I'm going to bring this in. And by then, you've got a nice little run up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wrote about this in what I did. I did a whole chapter on this in my book, and I called it the all or nothing mentality. And this, yeah, I'm not saying your friend is this, but people tend to go on one. They want to go from fat slob to Olympic, to training like an Olympic athlete, like overnight.
Yeah.
It's like you were just laying on the sofa watching Netflix, eating pizza. You're not now going to do like training 6 days a week at 6 a.m. You're not going to cut out alcohol. No. You're not. It's too extreme. I don't even do that. I didn't even do that when I competed.
It's setting yourself for failure, isn't it?
Yeah. And that is something. And so but I think it goes into that, ties in with the whole news resolution of it being like this big event.
Yeah.
It's this big definitely. Time to do it. I'm just going to go like, I've already seen it on LinkedIn and stuff, you know, I'm cutting out alcohol, I'm doing this. I'm like, you know, just treat it like, as if it's fucking, I don't know, the middle of the year, and you've got just choose a few things you can stick to. Because if you create habits out of those simple things, then you can add, like, yeah, you know, exactly. go back to your Buckaroo thing. If you add a few things that, you know, that the little donkey could handle, adding a few more is okay. I don't know how we're just talking about games now. But yeah, no, she's your friend who just might. It's a good example of why people tend to fail. And that goes in line with another thing I said. I've actually written down that it's seen as kind of the short term. You know, like, you know, a few people doing stuff like, you know, dry January. It's the new year. It's like this whole idea that it's just a fresh start, and I'm going to go all out, and I'm just going to like lose weight straight like in the first couple of months. It's just, unfortunately. Like, as they say, you know, your health and your fitness and the sexy body you want, you rent it and the rent's due every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So long-term goals, you know, we're talking a little about writing things down. It also helps in a way to, like, if you're a bit of a geek and you like Excel, write a chart, you know, draw a chart of something, because nothing like it gives you that little boost than seeing that something like a line dropping for either body weight or.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just, you know, if you like that kind of thing, it's just it's a great motivator. You know, I think a little Excel sheets for my clients when, you know, just for the weight drop, and you just to show them, you know, on a little chart, like a bar chart or a line chart, just, you know, seeing it drop or seeing the muscle mass increase, you know, either way.
Same as photographs, I think. I think that is basically any way that you can make yourself motivated. And that kind of goes along with what else I've got on here. It's just, I think we at this time with the COVID and stuff, not that it's not, I'm not using it as an excuse, but it is a tough time for most. I think doing this with some support,
yes,
is more, it's always crucial, which is why, you know, I've been so busy this week with calls with people, because I think they've realized that they can't, it's not only is it new year, we as coaches, fitness people, we always get a new year rush, but I feel like this is even busy. I feel like people are thinking shit, like there's no gyms, I don't know what to do at home. You know, I'm feeling a bit down about it. I can't, it's not the same, right? There's no classes to go to where I can, like, you know, so-and-so can text message me and say, you coming to spinning tonight? It's just having the support of someone.
Definitely.
Or even if it's an online community is crucial. And people go into these situations almost doing it, want to do it on their own.
I mean, we've mentioned this before, but, you know, grab a mate and do a little competition, you know, do like a, how many kilometers, or, you know, can you walk in a month, or how many workout hours can you do, or how many press ups, you know, something. It can be anything. You can dig down a bit and get a bit more imaginative.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Do a bet or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Even say, right, whoever wins this, you know, 20 quid to the other person's charity kind of thing. You know, that you need sometimes a little bit of a motivator like that.
Do you think that covers it? Resolutions? I think, like, for me, that is, I think it's, without going too deep into the, like, you know, the basics that we covered before, like choosing the wrong diets and stuff. For me, I think a lot of the reasons why resolutions fail, we've covered in the sense of almost the psychology of it, the reason behind it, the strange fascination with it being a new start. Do you think we've covered that? I feel like we've gone.
I think that we have. Yeah, I think that's.
Do you
good.
Then? I'm laughing already. Do you want to start the rant?
Yeah. Okay. Right. I'm going to kick off with this because I've literally kicked off. Yeah. Well, you know what? I've had a couple of days to calm down now. I'm actually all right. But those out there might have seen the Cosmopolitan cover and the furore it's been brought up with it. There's basically two schools going with this, and I'm definitely in one that you may recognize. There was basically some models which were just a little bit overweight, and absolutely no problem with that. And by the way, before anybody, you know, has a go, I'm not fat shaming. I'm not calling them out on being obese. You know, I have no problem with someone being overweight. You know, if they're happy, genuinely happy, and they're okay with all of that. But obesity is something different. That is a health issue. Whichever way you look at it, if someone's, you know, 30 plus on their 35 plus on their BMI, even though BMI is a bit ropey at times, it's generally okay for the general population. If you are at that level, you are potentially setting yourself up for some serious health issues. And just for cheap clicks and marketing, Cosmo have done this 2 or 3 years in a row now. They've had an obese model on the front, or not even a model, just an obese person, you know, big smiley face, you know, massively overweight. You know, it's, and this time they really went too far. They had a heading that said, "This is healthy." And it really made me mad because I wrote a blog about this a little while. If anybody's interested in reading it, it's not bad, even if I do say so myself. It's on, if you go to my website, lcsandc.com, you just click on blogs. You'll see I wrote a blog about this about a year and a half ago. I'll put that in the show notes, by the way, Lee. It basically calls it out on obesity, normalizing the obesity. And if obese people are calling out for changes for them, that's a red flag for me. If they're saying we can't get in airports, we can't get in the airplane seats anymore, we can't, the toilets are too small, the clothes are too small. You know, you need to be aware of what's happening here. People are starting to see this as a normal body type. You know, people aren't just, you know, when you're a kid, you know, you saw a really heavily obese person, you stopped dead and it was like, what the hell is that? You know, that's, I know that sounds horrible, but when you were younger, you hardly saw anybody when we were a bit younger, but it's almost becoming every day. And, you know, not only is it the single most avoidable cause of several diseases, it's a massive drain on the NHS. There's so many, you know, type 2 diabetics or pre-diabetics now. Setting themselves up for massive health issues later on, you know, blindness, you know, you're getting limbs removed because they've got abscesses that have got, you know, it's just, where do you end? It's just a really horrible disease. So that's kind of my beginning of a rant, and probably the end of it, to be honest, because I don't want to piss anybody off, but it just annoyed me when I saw that cover. It was, I think it was deliberately there to get some clickbait and to get some people riled up, and it did work a little bit, I have to admit. What do you think on that?
I find it funny because I think, and I'm not, you know, for obvious reasons, I haven't read Cosmopolitan and all these magazines, but historically, these are the magazines that were once upon a time showing women to be skinny and slim and all that, and making that their ideal body shape. And all of a sudden, now all these women have failed, and they've basically, like, maybe, and I would say some of their magazine advice has probably contributed to a lot of people having a poor relationship with their own image and their eating, which may have led to them being overweight because, you know, they've tried all these diets, they followed this advice, and ironically now they're just trying to say, oh, you're okay like this. I think it's a hard debate, because if, as soon as you start saying the extreme people in this debate are like, as soon as you say something like, you know, being overweight is unhealthy, you're fat shaming, you know, like, I'm the same as you. I couldn't care less if you want to be overweight. My opinion is my opinion. I don't think it looks good, and I think you're unhealthy, but if someone's happy about it, it's fine. I mean, you have to put aside the argument that you're right. If everyone was overweight, then that puts a burden on the NHS. So really, it is something we should discuss. But to say it's healthy is simply not true. Like, it's, you know, we know that you could be fit, physically fit. But I mean, you know, you take two people that are overweight, one exercises, one doesn't. At least that person's going to be fitter. But to try and portray it as something that people should accept on a big stage, you know, across the board, to make it like the norm, I think is just irresponsible. But I think you're right. I think they just do it for clickbait and to make money, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Because we're all talking about it now, and, you know, that drives sales up. So really, it's probably just really clever marketing.
Yeah,
it's an interesting one. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear. It's one of those ones I'd be interested to hear what other people think. Like, you have to be really careful with what you say now, right?
Yeah, you do. I'm consciously, you know, because I've had a few like debates with people on Facebook over these last couple of days. You know, there's a lot of things flying around. There was one personal trainer who was obese herself, who was basically trying to say, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. There's nothing wrong with this. I just had to stop because it was just getting ridiculous.
It's a bit of a strange time to do this when we are amidst the pandemic, which is killing mostly, if you take away things like, you know, age, mostly obese people with diabetes.
Absolutely. We're in
the middle of a pandemic that is killing people, that's putting people in hospital, with burdening the NHS. Now, I'm not saying that's every COVID patient, but it seems a strange time to be promoting that when it should be like, they should be more responsible. But again, if you're trying to make money out of it, business is sometimes separate to ethics and integrity, maybe.
Yeah, well, I just thought it was the height of irresponsibility. I mean, you know, it's the very last thing now you should be trying to, like you said, you know, in this situation where, you know, they've shown that 60% somebody who's obese at the obese level has 60% more chance of dying if they get COVID. I mean,
yeah, it's madness. I would imagine, I mean, I'd like to think that people listening to this podcast wouldn't be offended by what we said, because, like, we've both said the same. We don't, if you're overweight, that's your choice. Like, you know, I'm very much, you know,
live and let live, generally.
Yeah, like a libertarian kind of, like, you know, just do what you want to do as long as it doesn't really affect others. It kind of does, but, you know, the majority of the time, it doesn't really affect me, so do what you want. But it still is, you should still tell the truth. You should be it should be a case of, I was chatting to my girlfriend about this earlier, and it's like, it's almost like, I think the problem with things like this is humans, we know what it's like. We tend to take a lot of humans will take the easy way out. It's far easier to say to yourself, I'm just going to go on this, like, I'm going to preach that I accept my body like this, than it is to lose the weight. I would be interested to do it. I think it'd be interesting to take all these people that are, who say they accept themselves as being overweight and put them in a lie detector test. I would love to know if they genuinely believe that, or this is just they're saying this to make themselves feel better. Because it's easier to say, oh, I accept myself being overweight,
and it is to do something about it.
It is to fix the problem.
Yeah, yeah. And I unfortunately, I think it's fairly transparent. I mean, you know, especially that obese personal trainer who was, it was so obvious she had a bias that was, you know, trying to justify her own position, you know?
Yeah, why are you obese as a personal trainer? You should be the epitome. I'm not saying you need to be like, you know, like as far as even maybe you and I go, but you should be a role model.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the one thing, I mean, I've been in this business for 30 years now, and, you know, I've seen a lot over the years and I've learned a lot over the years and I'm still learning. But, you know, the one thing I know, that the reason I've managed to keep clients all through that time and never be short of clients is because, you know, people have come to me and said, you know, I've come to you because you look like you know what you're doing and you look the part. You know, and they've said, just have a look around you, look at some of the other trainers, and you look around, and I used to work with one personal trainer who was a chronic smoker. I mean, you know, she used to smell of fags all the time. And I just think, how can you be a personal trainer? And she didn't exercise. I know it sounds ridiculous.
I remember this vividly. There was a trainer at the gym I used to work at, and he was sat down. He wasn't obese, but he was quite fat. But he was sat down, so he's like, you know, his belly's over his shorts.
Yeah.
And he sat next to his client who is, you know, obese.
Right.
As I walked past, I heard him say something along the lines of, you really need to do better with your diet. You're really letting yourself down. And it was in that snapshot I just went, God, it's the eye, like, it's just, it shouldn't be the case. I mean, the reason why, I guess, like, people like us do well is most people who want to improve themselves, wherever it's, you know, business, relationships, fitness, normally want to go to someone that inspires them, that they can look up to, like a leader.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what you are. When you go to rarely do you go to someone. It's like me going to, like, you know, get some, you know, marketing advice from someone whose business is not making as much money as mine. It doesn't make sense. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting one. I don't think it's going to go away. I feel like, you know, go off on a rant on this, but as society is as a whole seems to be going towards this, like, victimhood.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's like, what, you know, just really settle does. For mediocrity, like, which is sad, really.
Well, the whole thing about just, you know, you can't say anything to someone that is going to potentially offend them. Well, people need to be have a bit more of a spine, you know. If you are overweight and someone calls you up for being overweight, don't get me wrong, I don't mean you shout, "Oi, fatty," in the street. I'm talking about, look, you know, suggest them that maybe you need to lose a little bit of weight because you're going to be, you know, you're heading towards serious unhealth. Or, you know, putting yourself into serious danger. That is not fat shaming someone.
No, that's the difference. I know that's, and the problem is I think this is the same with a lot of things in 2021 and 2020. A lot of people are just overly sensitive. It isn't fat shaming to say to, you know, and I've said this to someone on LinkedIn. They said I can't remember what I said. They said I was offensive. I can't remember what I said, but I remember replying. I got a lot of likes. I was like, yeah, and I said something along the lines of, like, yeah, facts do tend to offend people nowadays.
I remember reading that. Yeah.
Like, it's true. Like, nowadays, the facts seem to just upset people.
Yeah. Because they don't like those facts. If you don't like facts, you create your own.
So my stance on this, if you want to be overweight, be overweight. I'm guessing those listening to this who are, there's going to be, I hope there are people listening to this who are obese, because I'm hoping they're listening to, because, and they don't take what we're saying as fat shaming. They see it as we're doing it to help them.
Yeah.
You know, it's genuinely trying to help them be better. We're not saying you have to be super shredded or super muscular, or, you know, be Olympic athletes, but what we want from everyone is for them to just live longer and have happier lives, and not you know, especially nowadays, not end up in hospital with COVID and die because they were just overweight when they could have maybe survived it, because they're only in their 30s or 40s, for example. You know, I think that's it's an interesting one, though. I don't think it's a debate that's going to go away. We haven't planned this, but we were going to do a competition. Should we talk about it now? I feel like we have to now. I've brought it up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, cool. Okay.
Okay, let me talk about this. We were saying about this last year, and we thought what we would do is do a competition. And we'll have to do this in the post so people actually know, because before they need to know before they listen. But we are going to do a competition to win. What we'll do then is we'll pick two people, one for you, one for me, to get, well, do you want to do it as we're going to do it? A 3 months online coaching.
Yeah.
Which I think is a pretty good prize, to be fair.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Okay, do that. So we'll do that. We'll pick two people. Do you want to do it like I normally work with men? Do you want to pick a woman? I'll pick a man? Pick
that's fine by me. So, yep.
Okay, so we'll do that. One winner for each of us to win a month of online, like full online coaching with us. To get that, we'll have to put this in the copy of the actual post. We'll have to like the post, comment, new year, new me. Yeah, I'm not going to edit that. You have to comment new year, new me, and share it.
and share it, yes, and share it.
If you want to get some brownie points, you know, add some people to the mature muscle Facebook group. I think that's cool because what we're looking to do, and it's obviously it's a win-win. You know, we want, you know, we want to take, get a couple of people to, you know, have a prize, but it would be really good. It's obvious what we want, more reach. We want to help more people. And yeah. I think that's going to be, you know, in true Lee and Phil style, we will be just transparent with that. Yeah. Right, I feel like we've covered a lot there.
Just one little thing actually before we go. I've got a really good response to our last podcast from Joey. We had a lot of people really really like that. So we're going to get Joey back at some point.
Yeah, that'd be great.
To discuss maybe because there was a lot of interest in the talk about hormones and you know, HRT and the effects of that on training. You know, for women, obviously, you know, but yeah. we'll have something to offset that for men as well.
I've got a couple of people in mind that I wouldn't mind trying to get on, which would be pretty good, that we can talk about maybe testosterone replacement and like, you know. Yeah.
Absolutely. We've both got a couple of guys who know their stuff on that. So we're going to be talking about that. It's still quite an unheard of thing. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there have no idea that that's even an option. So we're going to be talking about that. And also we've got a few guests lined up. I'm not going to say names yet because we've got some quite exciting guests.
Well, I'm excited.
Pardon?
I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. Yeah, that's going to be good. And I've also got, yes, that's some other cool ideas of people in. So I want to try and get a sports psychologist in to discuss things like, you know, why people fail and what we can do to mitigate that. So, yeah, keep listening, guys. You know, we're really enjoying doing this. And I hope, you know, we're getting really good feedback from people who are listening. So, but it really does help us if you can give us a score or a rating, I should say, or a review on
share.
On whichever platform you listen on. If you listen on Apple, do it on there. If you listen on Google, do it on there. I've pretty much made the podcast available on every format. Took me a while, but I got there. So it's available on practically anything that does podcasts has Mature Muscle on it. So cheers. Thanks, cool. Phil. That was a good one. Enjoyed that.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Well, we'll leave it there. Like Lee said, you know, if you're gonna rate it, share it, I'll be really appreciative of that because we just want more reach. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast. We'll leave it at that. Don't forget the competition is on. We'll add that to the notes when we post it, and we'll see you very, very soon.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing, the Mature Muscle Facebook group. That's probably where we're going to put the details of the competition as well. So if you're not on there, or you know, get on there. If you're not on Facebook, we'll be putting it in the show notes as well. Cheers, guys.
Brilliant. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Mature Muscle, please subscribe and find us on most social media. Until next time, stay shredded.